Good morning, everybody. Really nice to see you here and see that you've all been able to get here. As I think you know, most of you know, I'm Lyndall, and I'm going to be leading our meditation today. And Judith, who is our regular Sunday member and is a new member of our Sunday teaching team, is going to be the giving the Dharma talk. So we'll have a kind of a team teaching thing this morning, and that'll be wonderful. I'm excited to hear from Judith. And Judith, you can feel free to begin whenever you wish. If you want to give it a minute more, or if you're ready, that's fine too.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Oh, big welcome. Big welcome. We're really happy to have you
Thank you.
here.
Hello, everyone. I thought that I would start with a little bit of my history with metta and how it evolved. As some of you know, I am a leader of the Dances of Universal Peace. These are meditative dances that are done all over the world, and they use the mantras and the sacred phrases from all spiritual traditions. So, in the early 90s, I had just moved to Montreal from Bellingham, and that's when I encountered the dances and I started participating. And I noticed that at the end of each dance circle, almost invariably, we for the little closing ceremony, we would chant, we would sing, "May all beings be well, may all beings be happy, peace, peace, peace." Now, I didn't know that that was metta. I didn't even know that it was connected to the Buddhist tradition. But I thought, well, that's nice. It's a lovely sentiment, but I have to say, I thought, isn't that a little bit naive, right? Because I am looking at the world, and I am not seeing all beings being well and happy, and I am not even seeing any prospect of this happening. So I was thinking, okay, is this maybe purely aspirational, or is it just we want to send out nice energy? I have this tendency to analyze things, so. Anyway, I continued doing it, and when I started leading the dances myself, I would end my circles with that too, because it was customary. And then several years later, I came into contact with a dance called, and this was one of the many from the Buddhist tradition, it was called the Heavenly Abodes Dance. And I have discovered later that Heavenly Abodes is the English translation of Brahma Viharas, but I didn't know that then. And the words to the dance are metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha. So we have these little write-ups for the dances, the leaders do, so we can learn them, so we can teach them to other people. And so I'm looking at the definitions of these words. So, okay, metta, loving kindness, karuna, compassion, mudita, sympathetic joy, and upekkha is equanimity. So I'm thinking, okay, what's the relationship of these four qualities? Compassion and loving kindness, that was pretty clear because I figured, well, loving kindness, that's something you give to other people, right? And if you're giving loving kindness to someone who's having a problem, it's probably going to be in the form of compassion. So that made sense. Sympathetic joy, I wasn't quite sure what that meant, but I read a little more. And so I discovered, okay, this is being able to take joy in someone else's good fortune. So that makes sense too. If you're sending loving kindness to somebody who's doing well, it would be in the form of sympathetic joy, right? Equanimity, I didn't really get that. I wasn't really sure how that related. And then, okay, so fast forward to the spring of 2020 and height of the pandemic, right? And I moved back to Bellingham. And I'm looking on Google for an online meditation. And I find Sims. And so here I am. And of course, then we start occasionally doing a metta meditation. That's when I finally realized that this may all beings be well was really sending metta. And as I continue doing these meditations, I begin to have questions. I begin to think, okay, this is not, you know, this loving kindness stuff, this isn't just fairy dust and rainbows, you know, this goes deeper. So I begin to have questions about what really is this metta practice all about. And then this year, of course, we started doing the paramis, and I began reading books about the paramis and also listening, of course, to all the Dharma talks. And I started to get some answers to some of my questions. So I thought I would share with you the things that I have been learning. So first of all, what is metta? Okay, we have the definition of loving kindness, but it can be translated other ways. It could just be goodwill or friendliness or benevolence. I mean, there are times when we try to do metta and we're not feeling very loving. And, you know, and maybe the most we can, most we can work up is a little bit of friendliness, right? And metta, I would say, starts with empathy. Okay? Our ability to be in the position of another person, to feel with another person, to feel the, actually experience the lack of separation between us and other beings. So one of the books that I read was by Gail Stark, called Creating a Life of Integrity. And in this book, she is doing exactly what we've been doing all year, taking a parami each month and living with it and practicing it. And she's doing this in conjunction with her teacher, Joseph Goldstein, who is one of the original teachers who brought insight meditation to the U.S. So much of this book is her conversations with him. And so he says, metta is always about relationships. It may be our relationship to ourselves or our relationship to other people, but it's always about relationships, which means that the things you have to watch for and be aware of are the usual hindrances, aversion, you know, understanding that it's okay for other people to be different, other situations to be different from what we want them to be. And of course, attachments and expectations, not clinging to the results of sending out this, this loving kindness, right? And I know that for me, when I was first doing metta, when I'm sending metta to someone that I really care about, and if they're having problems, my kind of secret feeling was that if I send them loving kindness, it's going to fix their problems. Of course, it doesn't always. And if I'm sending it to somebody that I'm having a problem with, it's going to somehow make them be nicer to me, right? And that doesn't always happen either. So in other words, we need to come from a place of equanimity. Aha. And in fact, Joseph Goldstein said in this book that equanimity is the foundation of all the paramis, all of them. And next month is equanimity, by the way, so we're going to find out more about it then. But basically, sending metta is unmasking our innate goodness. It's there. It's just covered over by our conditioning. And so if we practice it and we become more and more aware, it becomes more and more available to us. And it's interesting how often times of crises bring out this innate goodness in people. In fact, we see it in like the hurricanes in the Southeast. And I saw a video on YouTube of a reporter, actually a Fox News reporter, who was standing in, he was on high ground, but behind him was this flooded street. And there was a car in this street, and the water was like up to the window almost. And there was a woman in the car, and she was yelling for help. And so he's very aware of this. And at first he calls 911, but then he realized that's not going to work. So he puts down his microphone and he wades out into the flood, and he manages to get her out of the car and carry her to safety. And why did he do that? He didn't know her. Well, he did it because he had empathy. He could picture himself in that situation. So in these crises, people start looking after each other, and their innate goodness comes out. And then the other thing that I recently learned about metta, and this is from Tim Guile, Monday night, he gave a talk on metta, very good talk, and he said, metta is an antidote to fear. And I thought, that's very interesting. That's something I'm going to play with more. Okay, so second question was, what is the purpose of metta? Are we just doing this for self-improvement? Or do we actually think that sending this energy out is going to somehow heal the world? Why are we doing this? And so Joseph Goldstein in Gail Stark's book said he was doing a metta retreat and just doing metta meditation all day long. And he discovered that throughout the day, he was constantly checking in to saying, oh, am I becoming more loving? You know? And so, and then he says, well, it's tricky. It's tricky because on the one hand, we are doing this to develop loving kindness. That's part of the motivation. But if we're constantly checking in to see if it's working, then we're getting out of it. And that's when the ego starts coming in. So instead, what we need to focus on is the sending of it. It's not about me, right? I mean, it is, but it isn't. Because if we focus on sending kindness rather than the state of our consciousness, then we automatically will become kinder and more loving. And plus, which I would say that just sending the energy of kindness and compassion out into the world can't help but be a good thing, right? Somehow. I mean, if for no other reason, it does make us kinder. Okay, so how to do metta. How to do a metta practice. And I want to emphasize the word practice. Like, I am a musician, as some of you know. I've been playing piano since I was 8, and I remember my piano teachers always saying, practice, 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 practice every day. And I did, because I loved it. But then as I got older and I got busy and I got distracted, sometimes I wouldn't play every day. But eventually I realized it's more important to play every day for 10, 15 minutes than it is to play for like 2 hours every week or so. Why? Because if I play every day, my fingers develop the muscle memory. And then when I'm really into it and I have a chance to really play, I'm not tripping over the keys because my fingers know what to do. They've developed the habit. So it's the same thing with a metta practice or any kind of meditation practice. You may be busy, you may be tired, you may be grumpy, you may be distracted, but show up. Show up and do it, even if it's for a short amount of time. So a typical metta meditation, and Okay, this is something I also found out from Tim on Monday night. It didn't start with these phrases that we use now. It started with just sitting and opening the heart and then sending this loving kindness first into the four directions, to all beings in front of you, all beings behind, to the right, to the left, all beings in the sky, all beings under the earth. And that's how we did it Monday night. And we can, you know, we can still do it that way. But more often, it is like we just did it with Lyndall. We take the phrases and, you know, the phrases are endless, what you can say. You can make up your own, you know. And we start with ourself. And we start, oh yes, somebody's in the, okay, we start with ourself because if we don't have loving kindness, we can't send it out. And then, as we did today, we pick a loved one or a benefactor and send it to that person. And this is where you have to watch out for attachment to the results. And then we pick the neutral person and then, of course, the difficult person and then all beings. And then Nina LaBoy, our Nina, at the end of September, she did a day-long retreat on metta, which was wonderful. And she added sending metta to the planet, which I found very powerful. So I have been doing that as well. And speaking of her workshop, she said, before we did the practice, she said, if you're having trouble with a difficult person, try picturing that person as a baby or as a young child and see if that makes a difference. And it did for me. I didn't pick someone I knew. I picked someone from the news that I think is causing a lot of harm. And I did. I tried to picture him as a baby. Like, how did he get conditioned? And I did find myself having more sympathy. And then after we did the meditation, we had time for the questions and answers. And I think, I'm pretty sure, every single question was about the difficult person. How to send metta to the difficult person. And a couple of people were trying to send metta to someone from their lives who had been a very traumatic presence in their lives, perhaps even an abuser. And they were finding themselves getting really shut down and or very anxious. And Nina said, don't do that person. Put that person aside. That person can be part of all beings, but don't focus on that person. And I thought that was actually quite wise. So speaking of the difficult person, another book that I read was Ajahn Suchito's book, Parami, Ways to Cross the Floods. And he says, and I quote, use the parami of resolve to be kind not just to kittens on a good day, but to cockroaches on a bad day. Well, that really caught me because I had an experience with cockroaches years ago when I was young, married to my first husband, living in Wichita, Kansas, in a crummy apartment. And I got up in the morning and I went to the bathroom and turned on the light and the floor was covered with cockroaches. Ooh, I lost it. There was no metta going from me to those cockroaches, I can tell you that. And of course, we called the exterminator who came and wiped them out. And so even today, the thought of sending metta to a cockroach, I think I just have to put cockroaches in that too traumatic to deal with category, and they can be part of all beings, right? So anyway, Ajahn Suchito goes on to say, you even have to send metta to the dictators and the brutal maniacs. And I thought, wow, okay, this is radical. Radical in the sense of going to the root of something. This is going to the root of our human experience, of our fears and our aspirations. This is not an easy practice if you really get into it. This This is a challenge. So anyway, other ways to practice, you can do metta walking, a walking meditation, or even just when you're out for a walk and just silently send metta to people you pass or people in the store. And just to keep that awareness, you know, in your mind. And also just remembering acts of kindness that were done to you. And one thing I experimented with this week, thinking of Tim saying that metta is an antidote to fear, I thought, well, I wonder if metta is an antidote to annoyance. Because, like you probably, I have been getting many emails and texts asking me for money for various political candidates, all of which I support, mind you, but I cannot send money to all of them. And at first I felt guilty, but then I started getting really annoyed. Why are they bugging me? Don't they know, you know, I think 40, 50 emails. So then I thought, well, what if I send metta to these people before I delete their emails? I mean, who are they? It's not the candidates, it's staff or volunteers or something like that. So I tried it the next morning. I opened my computer and there were all the messages. And I did. I stopped and I just sent metta to these people. They're just trying to get their candidate elected and I want their candidate elected too, you know. And, you know, they don't mean to annoy me. And actually it did help. I still deleted them, but I did feel less annoyed while I was doing it. So that's another way to practice. So finally, Joseph Goldstein says, loving kindness is accessible when we remember that it is. It arises naturally when we are mindful, when we are present with what is. And I know, I think, in other spiritual traditions I've been involved with, it's always about remembering. This is who we are at base. We just have to remember, and that's the purpose of a practice, of course. So I would like to end by reading a poem. This is not one of my poems this time. This was written by a friend of mine in Montreal. She is French, but she also she's bilingual. She writes in both languages, and she wrote this particular poem in English. And I think that the fact that it's her second language kind of adds to the uniqueness of her images and her syntax a bit. And she is a longtime practitioner of Vipassana meditation. So this is her view of what it's like to walk through the world and see it through the eyes of metta. Metta by Denise Verville. May your woman tingle under the moon, your man wear the sun on his head, your blood reach the ocean, your garden catch the passing season's bounty, your loneliness find a mountain, your heart be married, your desires find safe passage, your lust be kind, your feet fit the shoes that fit the path you're on. May your arms move freely around the cross. May your autumns be golden as the spring is fresh. May your winters clean you to the bone. May your bruises bloom. May work well anchor your ship. May some faith in a master plan come not too late, and may happiness be your longest day. For having crossed your path, may others continue lighter on their way. When laden with sadness, may your soiled soul stand under a shower of stars and hang white in the fierce flap and clap of a western wind. May you be taken by surprise by a horde of children dragged up the hill to see the dawn of eastern risings. May the boulder of your troubles be dragged in the attentive, serious mouth of an ant way, way down into the earth. When ennui and fatigue have sucked the red out of your veins, in smooth, triumphant stride, may the swan glide over the facts of your life and establish a new reign. May you enter death to the tentative chorus of birds at dawn. Metta. So now we have the breakout groups. Okay, well, we now have some time for questions and comments. Yes, Lauren.
Well, one thing I forgot to share in the breakout group was that I appreciated I did talk about the antidote to fear, that metta is an antidote to fear, and that really speaks for me. I've found that sometimes in extreme emotion, metta is like the only place. It's a place I can go to because it just kind of grounds me, and there's an automaticness to it that I can just bring it up. Whereas sometimes I can't bring up like a loving feeling. But if I can bring up those words. But the other piece was your example of annoyance, because, you know, every day I have a little annoyance, I must say. And I think that's an opportunity, I was realizing, an opportunity to cultivate metta annoyance, because I'm always annoyed that I'm annoyed. So I think I'll try the metta. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, a lot of times I think we end up needing to give metta to ourselves for being annoyed that we're annoyed, right?
Right.
I am often reminded of Joseph Goldstein saying, talking about what he called the great Buddhist mantra, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay, right? I say that. I do that a lot. So anyone else? Yes. Claire.
That was a fantastic talk. Thank you so much. It was just great. I learned a lot. I was inspired, and I really liked your tone. It was really cool. Thank you so much.
Thank
and
you.
I brought this up in the small group, but it's still a question for me. I have a hard time understanding the word metta. Is it how is it that I can send metta to someone who's having a hard time? Metta is a practice. So sending metta to someone, is that shorthand for I'm going to be doing a metta practice and you're going to be part of it? I don't know. It's just an odd thing. It's an odd thing to see I'm sending you lots of metta.
Well, metta is what? It's a Sanskrit word, right? And so it literally means the loving kindness or the goodwill. So when you're sending metta, you're sending loving kindness. And when we say metta practice, well, that we're practicing sending loving kindness or goodwill or however we choose to translate it. So it's really the energy of kindness or the energy of benevolence that we're sending. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Maybe I think I have an aversion to many Buddhist terms being in a language that I don't know at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
So I think it helps me to think I'm sending you love.
Sending love, sending kindness, right. Sending friendliness, whatever you can work yourself up to send, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to actually come up with love, but, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't have to use the term metta. you know, just use loving kindness.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Lindell.
Yeah, and I was a little bit unsure exactly what was your issue, Claire, but if it was the issue is this idea of sending to another person, you could also think about it as I'm developing the attitude of kindness toward this person within my own mind. And so if there's kind of a feeling of, well, who knows if this reaches them or this or that, they don't even know I'm doing this, you might think of it more as I'm developing this attitude in my own heart and mind of kindness toward this person. And then, you know, when I do come in contact with them, it's going to make a difference in that way. So that's another thing to think about.
Great. Yeah, it's subtle. And like Joseph Goldstein says, it's tricky because really part of the purpose of it is to cultivate this state of consciousness of loving kindness. And yet if we focus on that, then we get hung up like he was and, oh, am I becoming more kind? Am I becoming more aware? You know, and then it becomes this ego thing, you know, oh, look at how kind I am. Right. Yeah. So it's subtle. Like it's like everything, right? It's subtle. Yes, Suze.
I was just reflecting back on something you said about that. I think you quoted Joseph that it's all about relationships. Mm-hmm. And when you think about whatever, whomever or whatever I'm in relationship with, what's the energy that I want to be meeting that entering into that relationship? And so I feel like metta really is all about what happens inside of me. I do my sending, but it's much more about, okay, I'm in relationship just with this stranger on the street. Where am I coming? What am I coming with? Where am I coming from? And I find that really helps me a lot to just continue to be more comfortable with metta, which took a lot of years of aversion and resistance and exploration and curiosity, like you shared in your talk, that it's not something you just, for some people, I guess they just go, oh, yay, metta. But that wasn't my experience. So, but I really love the idea of that we're constantly in relationship, and what are we coming with? What do we bring into that? I think that's a lovely exploration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, even just being, you know, I mean, I live alone, and just being here by myself, of course, I'm in constant relationship with myself. I can't avoid that. But I mean, I'm in relationship with my robot vacuum cleaner, you know. Yeah. And then it's like, on the one hand, being aware of your state of consciousness, but on the other hand, not being so focused on yourself that you think it's all about you. And yeah, it's really subtle. Yeah, Julie.
Thanks for the talk, Judith. That was great. And the meditation, Lindell, too. I just had a quick comment about, you know, to answer Claire's question from my own perspective, I think of it as well-wishing. And like, I totally relate to what Sue said. You know, for the longest time, it was just not accessible. And then I had to spend all my time wishing myself well, you know, before, you know, and even when I do the practice now, I probably spend more time on myself than anything else. But I've been really fascinated for some time now about the whole idea of, you know, just developing new neural pathways and a new way of thinking and viewing everything. And the more that we can practice something like this, the more you know, I mean, I want to be a loving and kind person. I want to have those thoughts and that wonderful, expansive feeling, you know, as much as possible. So that's all I wanted to say. Just one more slightly different perspective.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you. So, yeah, just practice. Yeah, that's it. Well, if we have about 2 minutes left, if anybody, yes, Suze?
I'm going to share something that a person in my group gave me permission to share, and that is an appreciation of you sharing more of who you are, that you would lead these dances, that you're a musician. And she said something I really resonated with, that we see each other in our boxes. And we think that we're just the person who sits in front of who sits on a blue couch like Sue, or sits in front of a bookcase, or my, you know, office thing behind me. And sharing more of the fullness of who we are was really appreciated. So she said I could say it, so I'm saying it.
Thank you, whoever you are. And I feel that way too. I love to know more about people. I love when they talk about how the practice works in their life, you know, like Tim talking about his wife in the hospital and how that made it so real. Metta is an antidote to fear. Yeah, I can see that. Right. Yeah. Okay, well, we are coming to the end of our time together here. So let's just close our eyes just for one moment. And with our hearts all open, let's just say, may all beings be well. May all beings be happy. Peace. Peace, peace. Thank you, everyone, for your practice.